How many were asked this holiday season, this Christmas, what do you want for Christmas? Was anyone asked by that by maybe your kids, a friend, a family member? No?
No, sir. I said the daddy doesn't get presents, guys. That's not the way this works.
Okay, daddy doesn't get presents. Okay. So you don't get your husband presents? Well, I sure hope you got her a present. If not, we have today and tomorrow. Or how many here have asked your kids or grandkids, what do you want for Christmas? Okay. What do they say? Yeah, my kids have been asking that, and I say no for me. That's for me. They keep asking. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah, well, I like a computer. That'd be nice. Anthony would like that, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever heard a kid ask something really strange for Christmas? Or weird? Have your kids ever asked for anything strange like that? I came across this article titled 17 Weird Things Kids Said They Wanted for Christmas. I'm just going to give you some of them, not all 17. First one is, my four-year-old asked for a jetpack. I would like a jetpack. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, if you could, right? Another one. My son, age 7, asked for a mini refrigerator to put in his room so he doesn't have to come downstairs for a drink when he's playing Xbox. Hey, Anthony, you want a refrigerator for your bedroom? That'd be kind of cool. Put some drinks in it. Another one. My 9-year-old son wants Santa to change the baby girl I'm pregnant with to a baby boy. He says his sister is enough drama. My 4-year-old daughter, Addie, wants a doll with blue hair. Maybe been around Natalie too long. Okay, he wants a doll with blue hair, and she wants to be able to look at her brain inside an ambulance. It's on. Well, I'll talk loud. Another one. Ever since my son was 3 years old, he asked for a ham for Christmas. Every single year. He's now 8 and he still asks for it. He eats the whole ham in about 4 days. Or here's another one. My 11-year-old daughter wants a squatty potty for Christmas. And then the last one. This one's my favorite. When my youngest was 5, he wanted a real Spider-Man tattoo on his arm. When he woke up on Christmas morning, the first thing he did was check his arm. No tattoo. So he cried and cried all morning. So this year, what do you want for Christmas? I came across the story, and let me just read it to you. A lady had a circle of friends whom she really wanted to buy Christmas presents. Time slipped away and was so busy at work for her, so she just wasn't able to get to the store to purchase the gifts. Time was running out, so not too many days before Christmas, she decided to give up on the gift idea and just buy everyone the same beautiful Christmas card. She went to the local gift store and hurriedly went through the now picked over stack of cards and found a box of 50, just exactly what she wanted. She didn't take time to read the message. She just noticed a beautiful cover on it, and there was gold around it and a floral appearance on the front of the card. And she thought, that's perfect. So she signed all of them with my love. As New Year's came and she had time to go back to 2 or 3 cards that she didn't send from the stack, she was shocked to read the message. It said this in a little rhyme. This Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on its way. Imagine sending out 47 cards. What would you do? Well, I'd come up with a really cheap gift or something. You know, when we look at the Christmas story in the Gospels, we also do see gifts. We recall the three wise men coming to Jesus with gold, with frankincense, and with myrrh. Gifts for royalty. They were extravagant. They were expensive and even rare gifts that these wise men brought to Jesus. They were gifts truly for a king. I mean, did not the wise men say when they came to Herod, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" These men knew that they were going to come before Jesus and that they were standing before royalty. And if we look at John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then we jump up to verse 14 where it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God became flesh. God took on human form. Royalty was born. So as I mentioned before, the wise men came and they presented these extravagant gifts to Jesus to honor the king. But like the wise men, I want to ask you today, what gift will you bring to Jesus this Christmas? The wise men did. They brought a gift for the king. What gift are you going to give Jesus on his birthday this year? I know many of us are so excited about giving and receiving gifts. According to one article by ABC, the average American spends $700 for Christmas. And if this is true, we spend more than $46 billion over the holiday. So you can see in our culture, we can be caught up in the buying frenzy, and we could lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus. Have I lost sight of Jesus this Christmas season? What are you getting Jesus for Christmas? I've been caught up in getting my family gifts. I've been caught up in making food for my family. What am I going to give Jesus this Christmas? Isn't Christmas supposed to be about Jesus, that he became flesh, that he became a baby, that a royal king was born in a dirty manger? And shouldn't we rather, during this season, answer this question, what am I giving to Jesus this Christmas? Does he want your money? Does he want you to help those in need? Sure. But still, what are you going to give to Jesus this Christmas? When we read the Christmas story, we can learn what we can give to Jesus this Christmas. One of the first people in the Christmas story is Mary. Mary, as we know, was a young woman betrothed to Joseph. And one day, out of the blue, no expectation for her, she had no idea, an angel of the Lord appears to her. And we see in Luke chapter 1, in verse 28, where it says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So Gabriel comes and tells Mary, "Rejoice. You're favored by God." And then he continues to tell her that she will conceive by the Holy Spirit and that she will bear God's Son. Wow, that must be quite a shock. She hasn't been with a man. All of a sudden, God tells her to rejoice. You're going to have a baby. You're going to bear God's Son. And what does Mary do? She believes what he says. She rushes down to Elizabeth, her relative. And when Elizabeth sees her, she's pregnant with John the Baptist, and he starts doing a jig of excitement in her. And she praises Mary for her believing the Lord. And what does Mary do when she, with all that happens, when her life is suddenly going to be changed? And then God chooses, puts his favor on her, and she's going to conceive and bear God's son. What does she do? And we see in Luke chapter 1 in verse 46 where this says this. We see Mary begins to worship, and she says this in the first verse of 46. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary pours out joyful worship. What can you give to Jesus this Christmas? And then we come to the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And verses 1 and 2 says this, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then if you jump up to verse 10 in Matthew chapter 2, it says this, And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they have come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Do you see what the wise men did in this passage, in these passages? First, when they came and they were getting close, they saw the star and they knew they were getting close to their destination. It said that they had exceeding great joy. They were excited. They were coming to the end of their trip, of their long journey from the east. And they knew, they just accepted, they were anticipating, they were there. And when they get there and they see this child, before they offer the gifts, this extravagant gift for royalty, what do? The first thing they do is they get down and worship him. We always picture the baby and baby, but most likely he was a child at this point. You wonder what people thought when these wise men, as all the people are all gathered around and they see these camels come in from the long journey with these guys and possibly in extravagant clothing, and they come and bearing these gifts, and people are whispering, what are they? And then, boom, they begin to worship this child. Their first gift was joyful worship before they offered their presence to Jesus. What will you give to Jesus this Christmas? And then we remember in Luke chapter 2, and let me just read this. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and I'm just going to read this section to you of the angels and the shepherds. In 2, beginning in verse 8, it says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things which have come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen as it was told them. Did you see first what the angels did? First, an angel appears and scares these shepherds. An angel appears, and we see in verse 10, when the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I mean, just think about this angel just declares this incredible message to these shepherds out in the field. A shepherd that a Savior was going to be born, this great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And you know what? I don't know much about angels. But I wonder, do angels ever argue? I wonder if these angels, because just a moment, all these angels suddenly appear. I wonder if any of the angels argued. I want to be the one that says it first. I want to show up to the shepherds. I want to freak them out. I want to tell them about this great news. Because all of a sudden, as he declares this message, heaven opens up. All these angels are like, it's my turn. And they begin this worship. They begin to praise God. Glory to God in the highest on the earth. Peace, goodwill towards men. The angels were filled with joyful worship. What gift will you bring to Jesus this Christmas? But then you see the shepherds. They were impacted by the news of the angels. So what do they do? Hey, let's go look for this baby. And they go and they find this baby just like the angels told them. And what do they? They're so excited because the angel said this. They go, they see this baby, they begin to go tell everybody, hey, this angel appeared to us, and this is what they said about this child, what he said about this child. They were excited. They were pumped up. They saw the baby Jesus. And then it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they've heard and seen as it was told them. These shepherds, who had no idea at the beginning of that evening what would happen, they were transformed and they had joyful worship. What gift will you bring to Jesus this Christmas? What gift will you bring to Jesus this Christmas? And then we think of Mary. Then we think of the wise men. Then we think of the shepherds. They all had one thing in common. They poured forth joyful worship. Joyful worship. What will you give Jesus this Christmas? What will you give to him? But you know what? When you want to buy a special gift for a close family member or friend, how do you know what to buy them? You ever have just one time, all of a sudden the idea comes around, I really want to give a gift for this person. Or this year I want to do something special for this person. How do you come up with a gift idea? Maybe you've heard them mention something in passing. Maybe they said something, oh man, one day I'd like to get that thing. You're thinking, okay, I could get 3 or 4 other friends and we'll go in and we'll get that gift for that person. Or maybe while you were shopping, you came across something because you know that person so well. That's what I'm going to get them for worship. Did Jesus ever give us hints of what he would like for Christmas? First, we need to spend time with him. Some of us, we don't spend time with him, so how would we even know what to give him for Christmas? But the more we get to know Jesus, the more we know what he would want for Christmas, because we get to know him. Just like we get to know a friend or family member, we get to know Jesus, and we get to know that I could get for Jesus because I know it will bless him. What's interesting is we do see some hints of what Jesus would want for Christmas. Jesus was in the upper room. He was getting ready to be crucified. He knew that it was his last moment with his disciples that evening. And he said in John 15:11, he says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be a little bit." No, your joy may be full. And then the same night in John 16:20, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." And then in John 16:24, again, a third time, Jesus says this, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." This Christmas, what can we give Jesus? Joy. Ourselves. Joy. Where are you at today? Are you filled with joy of what Jesus did for us? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. Are we filled with His joy? He wants us to have joy, but He wants us to come. It's His joy, His work. This is a season. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy. Is joy a part of your life? Are you coming to Christmas with joy, filled with joy? We can come to Jesus with joy. He wants to give it, His joy. But what else can we give to Jesus? Jesus, when He was with the Samaritan woman, remember in John chapter 4, He's with the Samaritan woman. He starts up this conversation with her. He talks about living water and all these things. But then they get in this argument. This woman tries to start an argument with Jesus. And says, "You know what? You Jews say that, you know, Jerusalem is a place to worship, but we say here in this mountain is a place to worship." And then she tries to go off subject because Jesus just told her that she lived with five guys and now she's living with another guy and she's feeling exposed. So she's trying to change the focus from herself to something else. And so she starts this discussion with Jesus about worship. But listen to what Jesus says in John 4 in verse 23. "But the hour is coming and now is." I want you to really listen to that. The hour is coming, but now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. You guys really know I taught you? Are you listening to this? The Father right now is seeking for worshipers. Right now. Just like that verse I said, how God, it says that God looks to and fro on the earth, looking for people to show Himself strong on their behalf. Right now, God is looking for worshipers. In this room today, He's looking for some that will say, that will come to worship Him. Are you a worshiper today? Are you filled with joy today? Are you filled with joyful worship? What can we give to Jesus this year for Christmas? And if Doug was up here, he'd say, every day we give to Jesus joyful worship. This Christmas, are you filled with His joy? This Christmas, are you like Mary? Are you like one of the wise men? Are you like the angels or the shepherds that poured forth joyful worship? Jesus wants us to be filled with joy. He wants us to come to Him this Christmas as a first step of the year with joyful worship. Do you think He deserves it? Are you filled with joyful worship? He's worthy of our worship, for there will be a day when He does not come as a meek, mild lamb, but when He comes next time, He's going to be on a white horse. He's going to come with power and authority, and every knee shall bow. And I don't think we're going to go, Jesus, okay, I'm going to bow. I think we're going to be like, you see in Revelation where people fall down. We're going to fall down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will worship Him. And I don't think it's going to be a choice. I think we're going to fall. I mean, when people come, they're going to worship Him. Those that do or don't know Him, you bow before the King. And those, some will go into judgment, and some will go into eternal life. So this Christmas, I want to challenge you guys today. Maybe you're like me and you've lost focus. We should have 2 days. 2 days before Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. I asked the kids and children in Sunday school this morning. Hey, how would you feel if your parents and friends forgot your birthday?
Sad, hurt.
How often do we forget Jesus on His birthday? We have the worship team come forward. Maybe this Christmas you lost sight of Christ, have wandered from Him. Jesus today is just saying, come back to Me. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, come back to Me. For joy is the experience of every true believer of Jesus Christ. Walter B. Knight said this, joy is the flag over the castle of our hearts announcing that the King is in residence today. Because as we experience joy, we cannot but worship. But maybe today you've never truly given your heart to Jesus. If you look at your life and say, I don't have joy. Like I said, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, joy has to be part of your life. Maybe it's growing. Maybe it's not always there yet, just like all the fruit of the Spirit is not there yet. But it should be growing. If you don't have joy today or God's love in your heart today, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've not believed in the gospel. And the gospel declares this, that if you believe in Jesus, that you believe He died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead. If you believe and make Him the Lord of your life, more than just raising your hand, but you give Him your life, you give Him everything to say, I believe, I bow down in joyful worship because You saved me from eternal judgment, and now I can have life in Him. You can't have true joy without Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If that's you today, you need to get to know Jesus. I just want to close us in prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, You know every heart in this room. You know every person here. And Lord, if there is someone here today that does not know You, that does not truly believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus, I pray, Father, today that they would open their heart to You. I pray today. Maybe they've gone to church, Father, their entire life. Maybe they've tried to do good things, but they have not realized that those things don't save them, but Jesus saves them. Open their heart. Bring them to that place of surrender. Bring them to the place of joyful worship. And now, Father, I pray as we sing the song in closing, Lord, we remember Your birthday.
And Father, forgive us for losing sight of you. Forgive me, Father, for getting caught up in the cooking and the gifts, for forgetting the greatest gift of your Son. So, Lord, today I, and I pray everyone as we worship this last song, that we would fully, joyfully worship as our gift to our Savior. Come, let us worship and adore Jesus.